Thanks for tuning in to Next Level Church Podcast. For more information, please visit our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. How are we doing out there? Awesome. Well, I want to tell you that I'm proud of you for coming to church on a snow day. I have not been on my phone much, but I am sure that we've already closed the whole state of Virginia because of snow. And I'm almost betting that school will be canceled for the next 3 weeks because of the snow. But you're in church, so give yourselves a hand for being here. Ain't going to let snow stop us. Can't stop, won't stop. Well, today we are concluding our series entitled The Criticism Decision. And I want to start by just acknowledging that life is hard. And I don't think there's anyone in the room that would say, you know what, life has been easy for me. I don't think any of us get through life scot-free. All of us go through life and we end up with a limp, a proverbial limp. We all go through difficulties. Life is just challenging. No matter who you are, no matter what your upbringing is, life is hard. And it brings different difficulties for each of us. One of the things that makes our life harder is that so often we compare our lives to the lives of others. And we think that our life is harder than someone else's. Especially with social media and with like Instagram, it's easy to get on Instagram and to look and say, well, that couple has it all together, or that family has it all together, or that person at their job, they have it all together. They have it easier than I do. But can I just tell you, I think you understand this, but can I just tell you that there is a behind the scenes to every picture. Every picture that looks perfect, there's a behind the scenes. There's some drama. There's something going on that is not as good as what it looks when you just look at an image online. A few years ago, I had an opportunity to hang out with someone who was incredibly influential in the church circles. In my circles, in pastor circles, this is someone that a lot of people really respect. It's a person that has the phone number to a lot of influential leaders and pastors. It's someone who's been brought in to speak to Google. Like, this is a guy that I considered like a bigwig pastor, like kind of like a hero of the faith, someone that I looked up to. And whenever I meet with someone who's influential, I try to make sure that I don't talk a lot, that I do more listening than I do talking, and I try just to ask questions. And I don't know if this person wasn't used to someone asking questions. I don't know if they just felt like I was a safe person. But within a matter of minutes, this very influential person started opening up to me about their own insecurities. And I was blown away to hear that this person had any insecurities. Specifically, they were insecure that he was not making a difference in the world. And I'm thinking, you've written 7 books. You've started 12 different churches. You are the head of a growing organization that helps coach other churches. Like, there are pastors who I look up to. You have their phone number and you talk to them. You're making a difference. And yet, you feel like you're insecure. You feel like you're not making that big of a difference. And what it let me know is that everyone is dealing with their own insecurities. All of us have our own issues. And it's so easy to look at something online and just say, oh, they have it easy, but we all struggle. And one of the reasons that I'm convinced that we struggle so much is that we have a very hard time not comparing ourselves to others and allowing people to speak into our own lives. As long as we are looking at other people, we have a difficult time actually improving and working on our own issues. And today what I want to do is I want to give you something that will help all of us get off the struggle bus if we do it. Today, it will not help you if you're not willing to actually do some work. If you're not willing to actually apply it, it will not help you. It will not change you if you don't. It will only change you if you do. What I want to talk to you today about is something that I think is incredibly important. In fact, I know it is the key to improving our lives. And every single one of us in the room can do it. Today, what I want to talk to you about is to be coachable. To be coachable. Now, that may seem simple, but hear me out on this. It's difficult to be coachable. Right? Like when someone offers us advice, when someone offers us constructive criticism, we become defensive, even if it's good criticism. Like if you walk up to me and you start challenging me on how I parent, even if what you say is good, I'm going to want to throw hands. I'm going to want to like punch you. Like I'm going to get defensive on it. Like who are you to tell me how to raise my kids? Like even if it's great advice, we don't like receiving constructive criticism. And so on our final week of the criticism decision, I want to spend some time talking about constructive criticism and ultimately how to receive constructive criticism so much better. In this series so far, what we've really been doing is we've been focusing on destructive criticism. Deconstructive criticism is the negative type that we've spent 4 weeks talking about, that we need to avoid it. And please hear me on this. I hope that you will put what we've talked about into practice. If you missed a week, please go to our website. You can listen to it on our podcast, or you can watch it, the whole service on demand on Facebook. I want to encourage you to listen to this because this is so important, because we live in such a critical world right now where everyone's yelling, but no one's listening. And I think that we can make a difference if we'll learn, if we'll put the work forth. But we've been talking about the destructive criticism, but there's different types of criticism. There's constructive criticism and destructive. Constructive criticism focuses on ways to improve and doesn't attack the person. And we need to become better at offering and receiving constructive criticism, where we don't attack. We don't say you're late because you're lazy. We don't say you didn't get those results because you don't work hard enough. We don't attach a why to it. We don't attack someone. We offer a solution. And can I just tell you that if you are an employee, if you work for a boss, if you want to move up in the company, one of the best ways to do it is to help offer solutions and not just problems. It's okay. You're the employee. You're going to see things that the boss does not see. You're going to see problems. But what happens so often is that employees just complain. They just throw complaints up to the boss. And it's overwhelming to the boss to just constantly receive these complaints. If you want to get on your boss's good side, do some hard work and say, hey, I want to offer some constructive criticism. I want to offer something that I think if we did this, it would improve our entire organization. Don't attack them. Work on a solution. Destructive criticism attacks the person and is void of ideas to improve. And destructive criticism is what we've been talking about for 4 weeks. It's where you attack another human being. It's where you call them names. It's where you put them down. It's where you're so focused on their actions that you don't offer any solutions. And can I just say that we as a people, we really stink at offering good constructive criticism. Most of the time when we complain, we just vent. We don't offer solutions. We don't offer a way to make things better. We just complain. We just add to the noise by adding negativity out there. In fact, I know this because I spend a decent amount of time reading the comments and reviews on Amazon. Anyone ever hear of Amazon? Anyone? Four of you. Okay, well, there's this new website out there that it sells everything. You can buy toilet paper or books or movies. It's called Amazon. If you go to Amazon.com, and you can actually get a subscriber on your TV called Amazon Prime when you subscribe to it. It's absolutely amazing, and it's brand new. So that's why only four of you raised your hands. Amazon is amazing, though, in that every product that you buy has reviews. And if you read the reviews, the vast majority of the reviews are not very helpful. They're not constructive. There's another website out there. I don't know if you ever use Yelp, but before I visit a new restaurant, I will go to Yelp, and I'll just see what people say. And most of the time, the Yelp reviews are not constructive. They're destructive. Most of the time, the Yelp reviews don't actually help me make a decision. And I want to show you some of my favorite Yelp reviews, and I want to do this because, number one, it's funny, but number two, I think it makes a point at how we stink at offering real, helpful, constructive criticism. This is one, a review for a Chinese buffet. They gave it 3 out of 5 stars. They said, I ate there about 3 hours ago. Now I have diarrhea. As far as Chinese buffets go, this one's pretty good. That's not helpful. That's not helpful at all. What am I supposed to do with that review? All right, this one is a joke. It has to be a joke, but it made me laugh. Hopefully it'll at least make you chuckle. This is a review of Ford's Theater in Washington, D.C., It's by Abe Lincoln. It says, was murdered here. Would not recommend. 4.5 stars. That's hilarious. All right, this is my favorite one. It's not the last one, but it is my favorite one. This gate is for a bus company, 3 out of 5 stars. I must downgrade this to 3 stars after bus I was on ran over 2 pedestrians and kept going. How many people do they have to run over before you give them 1 star? Like, are you just docking them 1 star per person? Like, everything else was great about this bus ride, but the 2 people it ran over, like, okay. One more. I think this is a joke, but this is not helpful at all. Don't try the pizza. It's so good, you'll come back every day. It completely ruined my social life because each night I only want to go there. I hate this place. 1 star. Like, that's not a helpful review. Like, I think you love it, but you're also telling me not to go. Venting is not constructive criticism. Just posting online that you don't like something doesn't help anyone. If you want to be helpful, you've got to learn to give constructive criticism. But a big part of giving constructive criticism is learning how to receive constructive criticism. And we don't like to receive constructive criticism. Can we just be real about that? We don't like when someone offers us coaching. We don't like when someone says, hey, you should try this. We don't like for people to poke around in our lives. We want to just pretend like we do everything great, and we actually push back and get defensive when someone tries to help us. Being coachable means you're open to listening to feedback, that you're able to receive constructive criticism without taking it personally. That is the key. And you are willing to take a look at your own performance in order to improve it. How amazing could you be if you were a coachable person? Like, you might be great right now, but if you were willing to receive coaching, do you have the potential to be that much better? I would say that you do. All of us can improve. None of us are stuck that we've reached our full potential, that we can't improve. All of us can get better if we will receive coaching. But that means that we're willing to listen to feedback and we won't take it personally. So on this final week of this series, I want to focus on the constructive part of criticism, because I think it would be amiss if we didn't talk about it, because it's a big part of the criticism decision. We want to stay away from destructive criticism, but we want to improve on giving constructive criticism and receiving constructive criticism. And the best way that I know how to be coachable is through this phrase. It's actually our big idea. And if you're taking notes, I would encourage you to start here. Feel free to take a picture of the screen. It'll help you remember it later. The big idea for today is professionals learn by coaching. Amateurs learn by trial and error. Professionals learn by coaching. Amateurs learn by trial and error. And full disclosure, I did not invent this big idea. This was given to me by my ministry coach, and it lives rent-free in my brain. I think about this phrase all the time, that professionals learn by coaching, but amateurs learn by trial and error. Most of us in life, we learn, but we learn the hard way. We learn by making mistakes or doing things wrong, and then we try to improve it. But what if you could save yourself some heartache of making wrong decisions? The way to do that is to become willing to listen to criticism, constructive criticism, that is. So often, we never grow in our life because we refuse to listen to coaching. We don't improve our situations because we become defensive if anyone offers us coaching. But I want to make sure that you get this. This is not just a talk to improve your life. This is not just a motivational talk that you can just walk away and say, oh yeah, like, I'll become a better employee, I'll become a better boss, I'll become a better spouse. You can apply what we're going to talk about today to all of those areas, but I want to make sure that you hear this. This is a spiritual area. So many of us remain stuck in our spiritual lives because we refuse coaching. And a big reason why we're not better at the spiritual disciplines which help us grow is because we become defensive if anyone challenges us. We could become better at prayer if we would receive coaching on to learn how to pray. We would become better at reading the scriptures if we would seek out coaching and learn how to read the scriptures. We would become better at volunteering or giving. All of this stuff, we have access to it all. But we've got to check our pride at the door and look for and actually receive coaching. I want to show you this in our scripture for today. Our theme verse is Proverbs 15:31. And at Next Level, we honor the text by standing to our feet and reading it nice and loud. So I want to invite you to stand to your feet and read with me Proverbs 15:31. When we get to the 15:31, you'll see two dots, and we like to have a little bit of fun. We say dot, dot, and pump our fists. It just gets the blood flowing, makes sure we're all awake to hear from God today. So will you read with me nice and loud? It says, if you listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home among the wise. Proverbs 15, dot, dot, 31. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to give you a simple prayer that anyone can pray, whether you're new to the church scene or you grew up in church. The prayer is simply, God, would you speak to my heart, and would you give me the courage to do whatever you tell me to do? Would you spend a second just talking to God quietly in your heart? And God, that is our prayer. We ask that you would do what only you can do. That is, speak to our hearts, to challenge the hardness of our hearts, to challenge our minds, and to give us a word that helps us change our lives. And we ask, God, that you'd give us the courage to obey you, because so often we remain stuck because we just refuse to do what you tell us to do. So I ask that you'd give us the humility to obey you, even when we're scared. And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So wisdom is an incredibly important component of faith. In fact, the scriptures feel like wisdom is so important. They dedicated a whole book of the Bible to wisdom. It's called Proverbs. And if you're new to the church scene or if you struggle to read the Bible daily, Proverbs is amazing because there's 31 chapters of wisdom. And you can read a chapter a day. Literally start on day one of the month. We're getting ready to hit February 1st. On February 1st, read Proverbs 1. And then February 2nd, read Proverbs 2. There's literally a proverb a day. And it's just chock full of wisdom. And the author of most of the Proverbs, not all of them, but most of them, is considered to be the wisest man who ever lived. He's also known in history as the richest person ever to live. He was so rich that other kingdoms, other queens and kings would come visit him and ask him how he achieved such mass riches. He was looked at, and he is a real historical figure that we know existed. He was incredibly wise, and he had a lot of money. And this guy named Solomon, he actually said that if you're a person of faith, you should search for wisdom like you would search for a buried treasure. That wisdom is so valuable that it literally should be something that you spend your life seeking after, that you look for it. That wisdom could actually improve your life. In fact, Solomon said that if you find wisdom, it's better than having gold. And he's a person who had a lot of gold. In fact, wisdom, according to Solomon and the ancients who wrote the scripture, wisdom is the art of skillful living. That's my favorite definition of wisdom. I absolutely love it. That is the art of skillful living. Wisdom helps us know how to not make mistakes. Wisdom knows how to help us learn from our mistakes. Wisdom helps us, it literally improves our lives. And the key to getting to know God is wisdom. And he talks about it all throughout the Proverbs. So look at what Solomon says, Proverbs 15:31. If you listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home among the wise. If you listen to constructive criticism, to criticism that's not destructive but constructive. If you listen to criticism that literally someone wants to help you, so they're offering you coaching. If you listen to it, you will be home among the wise. Why? Because you will become wise when you listen to coaching. When I listen to coaching. Now, I want to make sure that we don't pass by this too quickly, because it would be really easy to just sit here and nod our heads and say, yep, that's great. But wisdom is something that we don't get instantly. Wisdom is not a program that you just download on your computer and then like, boop, I'm wise. Wisdom is something that we constantly have to seek after. And wisdom actually comes from God. That's why this is a spiritual matter. That if you want to improve your spiritual life, hang out around people who are spiritual, who love God, and who are wise. And you'll improve if you're willing to listen to their constructive criticism. Another way to say this is if you are coachable. Being coachable, even if it makes you feel vulnerable, is a secret to achieving most of your dreams. If you have a dream that you're like, I just don't know how to get there. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how to get to that next level. I want to be better, but I don't know how to get there. Anything that you want to accomplish, you can accomplish when you receive and do coaching. The problem is that coaching makes us feel vulnerable, because coaching makes us feel like I'm not doing a good enough job. Coaching makes us feel insecure. You're pointing out all my flaws, but what about my strengths? Now, I don't know every reason why we don't seek coaching, but in my experience, the vast majority of human beings not only don't seek coaching, we resist coaching. In fact, I would guess that almost all of us in the room have heard the stat that over 50% of all marriages end in divorce. I've heard that stat. And yet, the vast majority of people, when they go into a marriage, don't ask for any premarital counseling, don't get any coaching, and don't read a book. Literally, we know that almost all marriages end in divorce, and those that don't end in divorce, most of the time, they are not happy. And yet, we think, I'm just going to wing it and be okay. Like, I was 21 years old when I got engaged, and I had so much pride. I just thought, I'm good with people. I'm going to know how to be married. Like, I got this thing figured out. And I'm so thankful that my youth pastor from when I was in high school, he gave me a call about a month before my wedding. And he said, hey, Rob, I know you're getting married. We're coming to the wedding. But I just want to know, what books are you reading for marriage? And I was like, books? Psh, I don't need books. And he's like, Rob, you're about to marry a female. And women are really unpredictable. You don't have the knowledge to be married to a woman without reading a book. And so I was like, okay, well, you got me. Like, what books do I need to read? And he recommended The Five Love Languages. He recommended His Needs, Her Needs. And he recommended a book called Sheet Music. And Sheet Music is about intimacy in marriage. And I didn't know that the Bible had anything to say about intimacy. I read that book with my eyes really big and my jaw dropped. And I went into that thinking, oh, I know everything there is to know about intimacy. And I read that book and I was like, I don't have a fat clue about intimacy. I have so much to learn. But if he didn't give me that coaching, if he didn't have the courage to make that phone call, I literally was going to go into marriage unprepared. But I see this happen often in parenting as well. Everyone knows that parenting is hard. It's difficult. And yet most people don't pick up a book. They don't even watch a TED Talk. They don't even read an article on how to become a better parent. We literally are like, parenting is impossibly hard. I'm just going to wing it. I'm just going to see how it goes. Like, I'm going to be responsible for these little human beings and their lives, and we're just going to roll the dice. I hope it works out. Like, no, like, it is difficult. If you want to do anything great, you don't wing it. If you want to become great at something, it takes some coaching. And we must, as people of faith, we must learn to be humble enough to seek coaching, to ask for coaching, to literally seek it out and say, hey, I'm going into a new situation. I'm about to start a new job. What should I know? Help me figure this out. Or go to someone who's done it longer than us and say, hey, I've had my job for a while, but I don't want to get complacent. What should I know? How can I become better at this? But the truth is, we don't seek coaching because we don't like constructive criticism. And I think the reason that we don't like criticism is because even if it's constructive, it taps into our most basic fear that we're not good enough. And the reason that we don't want to ask for opinions or we don't want to ask coaching, and ultimately I think the reason that we don't read books is because we have this insecurity living inside of us that coaching exposes. And coaching lets us know that we're not perfect parents and we're not perfect spouses and we don't have everything figured out about our own finances and we still have a ways to learn in relationships. We don't like hearing that because it makes us feel like we're not good enough. We often reject and dismiss constructive criticism because our own insecurity won't allow it. Pride and insecurity go together. And I used to not think that they went together because I used to think that pride and insecurity were two separate things, but they are linked together. If you find someone who often rejects coaching, I will show you someone who is incredibly insecure. Because someone who's insecure, their pride will tell them, I don't need to improve. I'm good enough as I am. And I want to just challenge you on this thinking. If you are not perfect, you have room to grow. So instead of receiving constructive criticism as an insult, receive it as an honor. Wow, you believe in me. You think I could do this job better. You think I haven't reached my potential. You think I could learn. It's an honor to receive constructive criticism, even when it's hard to get. I think it's fascinating that literally as I was writing this sermon, I saw a TikTok that just, I think it perfectly explains this. I don't know about you guys if you take breaks at work, but in like the 60s and 70s, they gave like mandatory smoke breaks, which is just mind-blowing to me that you'd work for a little while and then everyone would go outside and smoke. I don't smoke and I work at a church, so I take a TikTok break. After about an hour and a half of work, I'll take about 15 minutes just to scroll TikTok. And as I was scrolling, literally the day I'm writing this sermon, I see a TikTok that explains constructive criticism and how we receive it so well. Check this out.
Today, my boss was giving me some feedback, and it was actually really good, really helpful. And if you're wondering how I take criticism, the answer is very well.
Right? Isn't that true? That criticism, it was so helpful. Thank you so much. Like, it's hard to receive constructive criticism. But look at what the scripture says. Look at what Solomon says, Proverbs 15:32. If you reject discipline, you only harm yourself. But if you listen to correction, you grow in understanding. If you reject constructive criticism, the person that you're ultimately harming is yourself. But if you listen to correction, if you say, hey, that was hard to hear, but I want to thank you for giving me that, you actually grow in your understanding. That the reason that we're stuck in any area of our life is because we've refused to obey and listen to coaching. And that's why our big idea is professionals learn by coaching, but amateurs learn by trial and error. I want you to think about it this way just for a second. I know not everyone in the room is a sports fan, and I know some of you could care less about sports, but I want you just to think about this just for a second. Have you ever thought about the fact that professional athletes who get paid millions of dollars have multiple coaches in their life? I mean, think about that just for a second. They are the best in their field, and yet they have not just one coach, they have multiple coaches. I don't know if anyone watched the ESPN documentary, The Last Dance, with Michael Jordan, but it was absolutely phenomenal. And I learned so many leadership things throughout that documentary. But one of the parts of the documentary, they showed Michael Jordan, he retires from basketball, and he retires as the greatest basketball player ever to live. If he never came out of retirement, he still would have been the greatest of all time. He retires, he goes and plays baseball, and then he ends up coming back to basketball. And his first season back doesn't go as planned. He's no longer the greatest. He's aged, and his team gets bounced out of the playoffs. So that offseason, his strength and conditioning coach comes to him and says, "We have to change everything about you. We have to change the way that you eat. We have to change the way you work out. We need to bulk you up because you're no longer as young as you used to be. And if you want to be the greatest, you're going to have to do this." And I'm watching that documentary, and I'm like, are you kidding me? This little white strength and conditioning coach is going to coach Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player of all time, and tell him how to improve his game? If I'm Michael Jordan, I'm like, get out of here, dude. Don't tell me what to do. I'm the greatest. But instead, Michael Jordan literally listens to his strength and conditioning coach, and he becomes the greatest player of all time a second time. Let that sink in just for a second, that someone who is so great was willing to receive coaching. A few years ago, I don't know if you follow baseball or not, but if you follow baseball at all, you've probably heard of Derek Jeter. He played for the New York Yankees, considered to be one of the greatest baseball players of all time. And in his last season, he went through a slump in batting. And he ends up coming out of that slump, and ESPN interviews him. And in the interview, I was glued to it. I was amazed at it, because Derek Jeter, who is on his last season, he knows he's about to retire. To get out of a slump, they asked him what he did, and he said, "I listened to my batting coach." And they show his batting coach. It's a little stubby fat dude, and I'm like, I wouldn't listen to him if I was a great baseball player. I've never heard of his batting coach. What has his batting coach accomplished? His batting coach is not one of the greatest of all time. Derek Jeter is. But his batting coach comes to Derek Jeter and says, "Listen, you've been holding the bat wrong your entire career. It hasn't hurt you because when you were young, you were so athletic, you could still hit the ball great. But now that you're older, your bat speed has slowed down. And if you want to get out of this slump, you have to change the way that you hit." And Derek Jeter listens to him. I'm amazed at that. Do we have that same humility as a professional athlete that would say, "I may be the greatest, but I still have room to improve. And in order to get there, I have to receive coaching"? I wonder how different our marriages would be if we welcomed constructive criticism and coaching. I wonder how different our finances would be if we welcomed and asked for coaching from those who do it better than us. I wonder how much better we would be as employees if instead of being defensive, we said, "Hey, what can I do to become better?" I wonder what would happen. Well, I think that professionals learn by coaching, but amateurs learn by trial and error. Most of us learn the hard way. Most of us learn by mistakes. Most of us learn by doing things the wrong way and then trying to correct it. But what if you could protect yourself from some harm? What if you could protect yourself from making the wrong decision before you're faced with the decision to make? And the way to do that is to invite and to welcome in your life coaching. I want to read the two verses that we broke down. I want to read it in its entirety, and I would encourage you to take a picture of it because I think this is so powerful. I think this is a verse that we need to think about, to chew on, to meditate on. Proverbs 15, 31 through 32 in its entirety says, "If you listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home among the wise. If you reject discipline, you only harm yourself. But if you listen to correction, you grow in understanding." So to close in our final few minutes together, I want to be as practical as I can, and I want to give you a chart that will help all of us learn how to better receive constructive criticism. Because it's hard to receive. Even if it's good, even if it's offered in a good place, we become defensive. And so before you react to constructive criticism, I want you to walk yourself through this chart. It's going to come up on the screen, and once it's all up there, once all the words are on there, I would encourage you to take a picture or write it down, because this is something that you will not learn simply by watching it or listening to it. It's something that you have to practice. And so if you want to deal with criticism in a useful way, here's what I recommend. At the top of the screen on the chart, you'll see useful and not useful. On the sides, you will see kind and unkind. Anytime you receive constructive criticism, ask yourself, is this useful? If it is useful, listen and act on it, even if it's hard to receive. If someone loves you enough to be kind and offer constructive criticism to you, and they're not tearing you down, swallow your pride and listen to what they have to say. Because that is someone who really cares about you. You know, the people that don't care about us are the ones that see our flaws, and just because they struggle with confrontation, they just ignore them, they push them out of the way. If someone loves you enough to say, hey, you know what, I think this would better your life, you should thank them for giving you that advice. If they do it in kindness. So is the constructive criticism, is it kind? And is it useful? If it is, listen and act. If it's kind, but it's not useful, listen and think. Now, people who manipulate often live in this world. They live in the not useful world where they're kind, they're nice to you, but they offer advice to you that's just not helpful. They're trying to tell you how to live your life. They're trying to tell you what to do. And it's kind, so you're not really offended, but you're also like, I don't know, that kind of stung. Like, one time I went to lunch with someone, and after I got done with the lunch, I said, I felt like I met with the nicest mafia member alive. Like, the whole time she kept saying, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. But she said it with a smile on her face. And I was like, I don't feel like I can tell this woman no. Like, she literally wanted to change everything about our church. But she said it with a smile, and she said it with kindness, that I'm like, she's so nice, but I think she just insulted everything that I do. That's not helpful. So even though it's kind, don't act on it. You can say, hey, thanks so much, I appreciate that, and then move on. If someone, though, is unkind, but they give you useful criticism, you should still listen and act. Just because they're in the wrong with their delivery does not mean that what they said was wrong. And sometimes people aren't mature enough to offer hard criticism in a way that is kind. And so they vent to you or they say it with anger. And because they're rude or because they're a jerk, we dismiss it. But sometimes what they say is still true. And so give yourself a timeout and say, okay, that stung. I didn't like what they said. But is what they said true? Could what they say actually improve our organization? Could it improve my family? Could it improve my life? I didn't like the delivery. They botched the delivery, but what they said is true. If it is, listen and act. But if someone offers you constructive criticism that is not useful and it is unkind, ignore it. And I think, at least for me, this is where I allow people to have too much space in my life. That someone offers me constructive criticism and it's not useful, it's just a complaint. They don't offer me a solution. They're just venting, they're complaining, and they're unkind about it. But because words sting, I allow these negative reviews to live in my brain rent-free, and this is what I chew on. And I want you to know, you have permission to dismiss some constructive criticism. If it's not kind and it's not useful, just push it away. Say, I'm not going to spend my time stewing on their opinion because they don't love me enough to be kind about it. They just vented. They just told me everything I did was wrong. They just pointed out my flaws. So if it's not kind and it's not useful, whoop, swipe away. And that takes us to today's win. Today's win is a simple prayer that I want to encourage all of us to pray. And the prayer is, God, give me the courage to act on useful feedback and the wisdom to dismiss what is not useful. Wisdom is the art of skillful living. So when we receive constructive criticism, help us to be wise in saying, God, is this useful for me? But in the exact same time, we need courage to say, when someone gives us something that's not useful, we need the courage to say, you're not going to have space in my brain. You don't get to define how I think about myself because you were unkind and what you said was not useful. So I'm not going to allow you to dictate how I feel about myself. So I want to encourage you, if you feel like God is speaking to you, I want to encourage you to say this prayer, because ultimately wisdom comes from God. And so let's invite God to give us wisdom in this. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, just quietly in your heart, would you repeat after me? God, give me the courage to act on useful feedback and the wisdom to dismiss what is not useful. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to hear more, please visit our website at nextlevelchurch.net. You can also follow us on social media at Next Level 757. Join us next time.